Today's daf in Masechet Chulin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKadosh, is daf Lamed Tes. And that is definitely a siman that a curse should be upon the enemies of Yisrael. So, let me just remind you, we're in the middle of this really, very, very, very jaded sugya that's going to bring up a lot of amazing issues. And we started yesterday with two different approaches to the three shitot in our Mishnah. So remember that our Mishnah presents a machlokas about what the din is if somebody is a Jewish sheichet and he shechs for an ovid kochavim. So according to the Tanakhama, the shechita is kosher, and according to Rebbe Eliezer, the shechita is possible even if the tiniest bit of it, the chatz kovet, was owned by the goy. And then we have, after those two shittas, Rabbi Yossi comes in and says, it's ridiculous. It's a kal vachomer. If, even in kochim, we see that it doesn't help for somebody else to have the machshava, it's only the kohen's machshava that counts. So kosher came in a place where machshava doesn't count, whatever that means, because here obviously it does count when it comes to Avodah Zarah, so certainly it's not going to be affected by anything but the machshava of the shaychet. Now, we had two different explanations of that Gemara yesterday. The first explanation was that everyone is agreed that if it comes to the Beis HaMikdash itself, the machshava of the Baalim actually counts as pigel, even though the Kohen was not being befagel. So that was the shita of Rebbe Eliezer Rebbe Yossi. And the only machlokas, therefore, over here between the Tanakhama and Rebbe Eliezer, whether stam machshevet avodat oved kochavim la avodat kochavim. I think it would be kedai for everyone to even to write down the issues that we're going to be talking about, even though they're all Gavi issues. Yeah, but just let's take them one by one. So the question is, are the Baalim mefagrim? That's question number one. That's the shita of Rebbe Eliezer Rebbe Yossi, that bifnim Baalim are mefagrim. And the machlokis over here is whether, next issue, stam achshevet avet kochavim, avodat kochavim, or not. So Rebbe Eliezer says, we have to assume he's thinking about avodas kochavim. And the Tanakhama says, look, if you didn't hear anything, I mean, why think that he's such a religious ovid kochavim? You know, maybe he just wants a steak. So therefore, you don't have to be harshish. And that was the two shitas up front. And Rabbi Yossi himself came along to say he doesn't agree with the first assumption, namely, one person doing the avodah and another person having machshavah. Disagrees with that possibility completely. That was one approach to the Mishnah. The next approach to the Mishnah was that actually the Machlokas is Dafka, where we heard him say beferish that he does want to be Oved Avodas Kochavim with this. And the Machlokas is Zemechashev Vze Oved. Now you have to have two arrows that come from that first idea. Bifnim or Afilu b'chutz. So the machlokas is now, everybody agrees that yes, when it comes to pigol and things like shelo lishma b'nogei kochim, there we can have the baalim having a machshava. But that's only inside the Beis HaMikdash itself, says the Tanakhama. But you can't learn out from what goes on in the Beis HaMikdash to say that b'chutz, there's also, for Avodah Zarah, such a machshava, that the Tanakhama disagrees with. And then comes along Rebbe Eliezer, and he says, no, we learn out even b'chutz, that zebechashev v'zeh oved. And Rabbi Yose is saying, even bifnim, we don't say zemechashev v'zeoveit. That's where we got to yesterday, two very clear, different ways of learning the Mishnah. Now, we'll see today that things get a little bit more complicated. So let's start on line 3 of Lamed Tet, which is where we got up to yesterday. And we start with Itmar, last word on the line. Hashochet et abei malizrok damal avodat kochavim. So now here we're not talking about zemechashev v'zeh oved at all. We're talking about the guy himself has a kavana, but here we're talking about a new item, which should be now listed as the next item on your list. Can you be mechashev mi'avodah le'avodah? So you're doing the shechita No, without any kind of kavanah for avodas kochavim. But as you do the shechita, you have the intent that when you get after the shechita, you're going to collect the blood, you're going to pour it out for avodas zarah. So now the question is, can you be mechashev from one avoda la avoda? So this is now a completely new issue. Mechashvim mi avoda la avoda or not? So Rabbi Yochanan says, it's possible, because even though you didn't do a shechita for Avodah Zarah, but you did a shechita for a zrika for Avodah Zarah. That's bad enough, because you can even be mechashev from one Avodah to the next. And Reish Lakish says, no, no problemo. And the animal is not osir. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Psula, because he holds that mechashvim mi avodah la avodah. And this is true even b'chutz, yalfinan chutz mifnim. Now, when we say yalfinan chutz mifnim, we need to remember up front that things are not as simple as they seem, even bifnim. Why is that? Because there are two different types of psulim that we're talking about, psulei machshava bifnim. You could have a machshavas pigo. Well, a machshavas pigo, by definition, includes the concept of mechashev mi avoda la avoda, right? Because you are mechashev in one of the arba matirin. What are the arba matirin, remember? The shechita, the kabbalah, the holacha, and the zrika, our favorites from the Masechet Tzvachim. Lovely. And now, that would mean you are doing a shechita, but what is your kavana of pigo? Ah, your kavana of pigo would be either to eat. So that has nothing to do. That is being mechashev from one thing to another. Or to be makriv, which could include a zrika sadam. So let's say you do the shechita in order to do the zrika. Our case. So that is classic pigol. That can't be a machlokas. That's the case that the Torah speaks about. You have a machshav in one of the arba matirim to do any type of achila, whether it's achilas mizbeach, achilas adam, which includes the zrikas adam, which is a type of achilas mizbeach. And you're going to do that chutz lizman or chutz l'mekoma. So over there, it's built into the concept of the psul machshevas pigol, that is, by definition, it goes mi avodah la avodah. But there's another type of psul, and that would be remembering those lovely sun-drenched days in Tzvachim as we sat there learning the Mishnah, and we learned about a machsheves, shelo lishmo, oh, how lovely that was, back on Chatas and Pesach. And the din is that machsheves, shelo lishmo, can passel a korban Chatas and a korban Pesach, right? So now, there's no concept of me'avoda la'avoda. Possibly, I mean, I don't know. It means if you did the shechita shelo lishma, or you did the zrika shelo lishma, but what about if you did the shechita to do the zrika shelo lishma? I don't know. I mean, that's a different idea. Can you be mechashvin me'avoda la'avoda bifnim in something like shelo lishma? Or maybe even bifnim, that would be a problem. So, that's what we're going to be getting into now. So Rabbi Yochanan says, look, we can learn the dinim of chutz. What is that? Shechita of chulin, in order to do a zrika for avodah zarah, from the dinim that would be nogea bifnim, namely pigol. We know that the idea of pigol is, by definition, you can be actually mechashev me'avodah la'avodah. So that means that machshava, as a rule, can be done even for a future avodah, not the one that you're currently engaged in. Whereas Reish Lakish says, no, it's mutter, because you cannot be mechashev from one avoda to another, and we do not learn out the dinim of machshava for avodas kochavim from the din of pigol bifnim, and lo gamrinan chutz mifnim. Now this, the truth is has been a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish over the years, because both of them are following their shitas that we saw in other places, the Itmar. Shachata lishma. Now, this is fascinating, because now we're moving into the dinim of shelo lishma, not pigo, bifnim. So this complicates the matter, because pigo, we know, there's no way out of it. Mechashvim avoda la'avoda bifnim, absoluto. But how about shelo lishma? So now it turns out that there's actually a machlokas, what the din would be bifnim. Shachata lishma, in order to be zorek tamashal lishma. Rabbi Yochanan says that's possible. Why? Because b'chashvim mi'aveda la'aveda bifnim, even b'nogea amachsheva shelo lishma, not only from machsheva's pigel. Whereas Reish Lakish says, even that is kosher, even though it's bifnim, because the din of pigel is unique. We don't learn out of machsheva shelo lishma from the concept of pigel. Pigel is entirely built of separating things into the four matirim on the one hand, and then what it is that you're going to be doing and the impact of what you're doing. So we really have it all separated. That's what pigel is about. But when it comes to a machsheva shelo lishma, that's a standard machashru mi'avodah la'avodah question. And that would mean that according to Reish Lakish, we do not even have a concept of machashvim la'avodah la'avodah bifnim. So here too, we need two little arrows separating out machashvim mi'avodah la'avodah, whether that's bifnim or bachutz. So then Rabbi Yochanan says, definitely bifnim b'chashvimi avodah la'avodah, and therefore in the current case under discussion about somebody who had a machshav to shech techatas to do the zrikas adam shelo lishma, it would be possible. Why is that? Because gamrinan mi machshav espigel. We learn out the machshava shelo lishma from the concept of pigel. Even though in pigel it's built into the nature of pigel that b'chashvimi avodah la'avodah, but conceptually the idea is clear. The Torah allows a machshava when you're doing one thing to be affected by your thought about another thing down the line that you're going to be going. So therefore, it's true not only for pigel, it's also true for shelo lishma. So this could be, in order to keep things clear in your head, another line, which is gamrinan shelo lishma mimachsheves pigel. And that would be a simple way of not getting confused between yalfinan chutz mifnim and yalfinan pnim mipnim. So we learn out pnim mipnim in the sense of learning out the shelo lishma from pigel. Whereas Reish Lakish learns, ein mechashvim mi'avodah la'avodah, Binogea even bifnim, because we don't learn out a machsheves shelo lishma from a machsheves pigel, because obviously pigel is defined by that in the concept of a matir and an effect of a mutar, and that has no meaning if you're talking about shelo lishma. So now, why do I need both of these machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? One of them is about machsheves avodas kerchovim bachutz, and one of them is about machshava shelo lishma bifnim. These are two different machlokas. Does one follow from the other? No, says the Gemara. Actually, one doesn't follow from the other. I'll tell you why. Because tricha. We need to know these two shitas, both benogea bachutz with a shchita in order to do zrika for avodah zarah, and bifnim with a shchita lishma in order to do the zrika shelo lishma. Because let's say we only had the case we're talking about here of the avodah zarah. So I might have thought that, well, that explains why Reish Lakish says that it's not going to affect the animal, because we're talking about doing something with chulin outside of the Beis HaMikdash. How do you bring a raya from something in the Beis HaMikdash to something out of the Beis HaMikdash? So there I understand that Reish Lakish Shita is chutz mipnim lo yalfina. We simply wouldn't apply the dinim inside to outside. But, I mean, that has nothing to do with the machshava shelo lishma bifnim. I would have thought that Reish Lakish is only discussing the chutz mipnim issue. But the pnim mipnim, that is, do you learn out shelo lishma from pigel? That maybe he would agree. Emamodi leila Rabbi Yochanan. I would have thought, if he hadn't said beferish otherwise in that other machlokas, that he would be moded to Rabbi Yochanan. And on the other hand, if only we knew was that you learn out, according to Rabbi Yochanan, so we learn out machsheves shelo lishma from a machsheves pigel, I would have said, yes, of course. I mean, that's because b'ayikama Rabbi Yochanan. He's learning out a din bifnim from another din bifnim. That I understand. But perhaps in this case, where we're talking about learning out chutz machshava for avodah zarah, could be he agrees completely with Reish Lakish. So obviously, these two sugyas are not related to each other in the sense that you would know one if you knew the other. I need to know both of these shitas. Now the question is, Reb Sheshet says, it seems to me that from our Mishnah, both of them are wrong. Reb Yochanan is wrong and Reish Lakish is wrong, because look at our Mishnah. Omar Rabbi Yossi, well, isn't it a kal v'chomer? If there's a place where machshava passes, and that would be in cases of hegdash, ein hakol holech ela achar ha'oved. It all depends on the kohen, and it doesn't depend on the owner. Makom she'ein machshava poselet, but a place where there's no machshava to pass, namely chulin, isn't it obvious that for sure only the sheichet, who's taking the place of the kohen, he's the one that's actually handling the animal, only his machshava is going to be relevant, right? Now, what the heck does Reb Yossi mean? I mean, on the face of it, Reb Yossi makes no sense. We're all agreed that there is a concept of psul machshava for chulin. Reb Yossi certainly doesn't disagree that if you shechted an animal for Avodah Zarah, that it's considered to be Zivche Beisim. That was something that we learned out from the Pasuk. There was that's the concept of Takrovis Avodah Zarah. And obviously, that's not Reb Yossi's point. So when Reb Yossi says, in a place where there is no Psul Makshava, what are you talking about? There is no Psul Makshava? Of course there's a Psul Makshava on Chulin for Avodah Zarah. So that means we're going to have to understand Reb Yossi by his comparison of a specific case, which would not have any impact on Chulin, but which would have impact on Kutch. Okay? What's that case? What's his kal v'chomer based on? What's the case where he said, well, if in a place where there is machshava and chulin, it doesn't, and kutchim, it doesn't help, kol shekein and chulin, it doesn't help. So, look, let's think about this, says Reb Sheshet. What did he mean when he said, my, ein machshava poselet b'chulin, unquote? I mean, certainly, he can't be suggesting that there's no psul machshava and chulin for Avodah Zarah. That's ridiculous. Ilema de lo pasla klal. So, what, he disagrees with the din? Of Takrovas Avodah Zarah. So then, Zvichat Avodah Zkuchav the Mitzvah, Echa Mashkachas Los, if he thinks there's no such thing, where did the Torah ever answer it? Elo Pshita. Obviously, what he must have meant, suggests Reb Sheshet, is he's comparing the issue of Avodah La Avodah. That's what he's saying. So he's saying, Achikoma, if in a place where a Machshava passes Bimugdashim, from one Avodah to another Avodah, and he doesn't say machshava is mifagelet. He says machshava is poselet. That means he's talking about even a machshava shelo lishma. If in a place in like the Beis HaMikdash, where you can have a machshava for while you do shkita on a shelo lishma for zrika, anything is dependent only on the kohen. Makom she'ein machshava poselet. So a place where you cannot do bichlal a machshava from a shechita to a zrika, like chulin, where you can't do me avodah l'avodah. You can only have a machshava on the actual thing that you're doing. I do hereby shech this animal for the great Lord Yashka Pitik. So it has to be both ta'avodah. So for sure it's a kal v'chomer, eino din, shelo yeh akol holeich, elo achar hashochet. Now, that means that Reb Yossi is taking for granted, and this is not part of the machlokas between Reb Yossi and Reb Eliezer, the Tanakama. This is a statement that makes sense according to everyone in the Mishnah clearly, right? So now, what he's saying is, Pnim, he's saying, you can have a machshava bifnim on shalol lishma mi'avodah l'avodah. Uh-oh, that is the opposite of what Reish Lakish said. Reish Lakish said, even bifnim, you cannot have a machshava shelo lishma, because we do not learn out shelo lishma from the machshavas pigo. Isn't this fun? So many different sugyas all wrapped up in each other. And the way it got to it, wasn't it beautiful, this gradual increase in complexity? You never know what's going to hit you. That it's coming from left field or right field. Completely new machshavas. I'm telling you, you thought playing tennis was rough. Whoa. Okay. I don't know if they'll ever design a robot to hit these shots, but you never know. So anyway, so what do we got? That's the pnim, that's problematic for Reish Lakish. And what it says, b'chutz, is problematic for Rabbi Yochanan. Because Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you can have a machshava from chutz. And what does he say? That you can have a machshava mechutz l'pnim? a machshava from Shechita to Zerika. So I understand Reish Lakish. You can't really attack Reish Lakish because we don't know what Reish Lakish holds once it's been updated with the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. It might well be that Homikami Deshama Mi Rabbi Yochanan, Vahala Basa Deshama Mi Rabbi Yochanan. Look, I mean, it's possible that he actually changed his mind. You know, you could say that his whole Shita, he was arguing only Mitzad Hasvara on Rabbi Yochanan. He thought that Rabbi Yochanan said this just on Misvaroto. But after this Mishnah was taught him by Rabbi Yochanan with the Shitas in it, he understood that he learned it out from a Mishnah. He's not going to argue on that, so it's fine. But what would Rabbi Yochanan say about Rabbi Yossi's Shita of Chutz? Ah, but then he realized himself, that's not much of a kasha. Humotiv lav umafarek lav. Wait a minute. Why did I think that the only meaning of what it was that Rabbi Yossi said was to compare, remember what we're looking for. What did Rabbi Yossi mean by a kav chomer from a place where machshava works to a place where machshava doesn't work? And we don't know what he means. How is it a given that machshava doesn't work? It's on the contrary. We know that there is machshava b'chutz. So our first explanation was that he was saying a place where machshava works from one avoda to the other to a place where machshava doesn't work from one avoda to another. But then Rav Sheshis realized, well, that's not necessarily what he was referring to. Maybe he was referring to the fact that there's four separate points at which Apsul will work bifnim, namely Shechita, Kabbalah, Holacha, Zrika. Now, did you ever hear of anybody doing Holacha l'Avodah Zarah? No. Did you ever hear of anybody doing Kabbalah for Avodah Zarah being a psul? No. The psukim that we have Avodah Zarah only refers to Shechita, Zvicha for Avodah Zarah, and that's Zivchei Meitim. And then we have the concept of Zrika for Avodah Zarah. That's what he's saying. He's saying, Kav Chomer is, even bifnim, where we have the halacha that there's four separate notes at which this machshava will work, it only works if it's the kohen's machshava. So bachutz, where we only have two out of the four, for sure it should only be the sheichet's machshava. That's what he was saying. In which case, it has no bearing on the issue of mechashru mi'avodah l'avodah at all. So Rav Sheshis understood that on his own, and I shouldn't have made that such a big deal. So this is what he's saying. Ba'arba avodah, just v'alchikama. Uma b'makam shemachshava poselet, b'mugdashim. In four separate avodot, and nonetheless, ein hakol olech ela achar oved, it's all defined by Mr. Cohen. Makom she'ein machashava poselet, namely b'chulon ela b'shtei avodot, which is only shechita and zrika, isn't it clear? Ein odin shelo yei hakol olech ela achar hashochet. Okay. So our Mishnah is not a problem, not for Reish Lakish, not for Rabbi Yochanan. There was no indication over here about what the din would be. Legabe bechashu mi'avoda l'avoda. We introduced that after the Mishnah. The Mishnah didn't necessarily say a word about avoda l'avoda. Anyway, Lamaise.
Rabbi, count this as a separate issue. I was listing issue.
What issue?
We added shelo lishma, and then we added.
No. It's not a separate issue. No, it's just a kav chomer. Tanya kavasi de Rabbi Yochanan. Now, lemaisa, we have a raya like Rabbi Yochanan that you can be mechashev me'avodah l'avodah even b'chutz. Where is that? Ashochet et habeima lizrok dama l'avodat kochavim. Exactly this case. So he was going to do the zrika, or he was going to do the haktorah on the mizbeach for avodat kochavim. Says here in the Farish in the Mishnah, Hareyelo Zivchei Meitim. That is exactly like Rabbi Yochanan. Now, the Braita, once we already quote this Braita, we'd like to take a look at the continuation of this Braita, which goes on like this. Suppose this Sheichet does a regular Shechita, and all of a sudden he stands up and he says, now I am going to bring the dam for the purposes of Avodah Zarah. How about that? Does that mean that the Shechita also has to be assumed to have been for Avodah Zarah? Or no, the Shechita itself was, he kept quiet, so we don't have a problem with it. Now, this actually happened once. Where would you think it happened? Obviously in Caesarea. So, Zeh Hayam Asebe Caesarea, where do you meet such kooks? Velo Omruba, lo Isur, velo Heter. They didn't say anything about this. They refused to give a psak. They wouldn't say that it's kosher, but they wouldn't say that it's mutter either. So, I mean, like, why is that? I mean, when they say lo Omruba, that doesn't mean that they left it with a teiku. It means they didn't want a paskin. But why didn't they want a paskin? Omer of Chista, well, they didn't want to say that it's usur, even though they might have held it's usur, because the Tanakhama over here, they say that, look, according to the Tanakhama, what did we say over here? We don't believe that Stam Machsheves Avod Avei Kochavim is for Avodas Kochavim. So if in this case, at the time that the guy was doing the Shechita, there was no announcement of any intent for Avodah Zarah, our Mishnah holds, according to the Rabbana, we don't jump to any conclusions that just because a guy is Avodah Zarah, that means that everything that he does, he's so frum, kol ma'isav l'shem shamayim, and therefore he must have also done the Shechita for Avodah Zarah. We don't say that. So they didn't want to say it's usher because it seems to contradict the Tanakhama. But on the other hand, they didn't want to say that it's mutter because of Rebbe Eliezer. And he says, Stam Machsheves Avodas Kochavim is for Avodas Kochavim. Come on, Rav Chista. There's no connection to our Mishnah, for heaven's sakes, Mimai. What would be the problem? It's not no gay our Mishnah. The Rabbanin in our Mishnah said that we don't suspect that he did the Shechita for Avodah Zarah. But that's because he didn't say anything about Avodah Zarah. In this case, the Sheikhet, right after he finishes the Shechita, he says, and now for the glorious Zrikas Hadam to the great Lord Scroochibaper. And so there, maybe it's different. And it could very well be that the Chachamim would be made us. Why were they afraid to say that it would be Usr? Ha'cha Shamanu D'Chashim. He said Beferish. So maybe, now this is the next issue that you should write down. Ho'chiach Sofo Al Techilato. There's another concept, which is called the way things work out in the end of a process have implications for what must have been the status at the beginning of the process. So it could very well be over here that since he said Beferish afterwards, then Berkakomim would be made. Or you could say exactly the opposite. You could say, what's their problem with Rebbe Eliezer? Rebbe Eliezer only said, note his words, Stam Machsheves Oved Kochavim. We don't call a Yisrael an Oved Kochavim, even if he is Oved Kochavim. He's not an Oved Kochavim, is he? So, I mean, this Yisrael had a Cheskas Heter. When he was doing, Cheskas Kashrus, we should say, when he was doing the Shechita, we had no reason to suspect that this Sheikhet was really came from Muncie, and all along he was being Bechashe for Avodah Zarah. If we find out afterwards, then why not just say, well, up until this minute, this guy was a wonderful sheikhet, and now suddenly the Yetzer Hara got hold of him, and he declares his rutzen to spill the blood for Avodah Zarah. So, why? I mean, obviously, Yisrael retains his cheskas kashrus until the bitter end. So maybe, Atkan lo kama Rabbi Eliezer Hassan, Ela Gabi Oveit Kochavim. Where did Rebbe Eliezer say, Stam Machsheves HaOvei Kochavim, Avodas Kochavim? That's said about a goy who's an Ovei Kochavim, but a Yisrael? What are you going to say? Even Ochiach Sofa Al-Tchiloso he wouldn't have said, you know? Because, I mean, look, he was a kosher Jew until that point. So what does Rebbe Eliezer's opinion have to do with what happened in Caesarea? So forget about it. Rav Chista's explanation of why in Caesarea lo amru bo lo heter v'lo yisur has nothing to do with anything. Our Mishnah is completely out of the running over here. So what is the reason that they were so confused? I'll tell you why. El Omer of Shizbi. You want to hear the Taimani approach to this? I'll tell you. Lo amru baheter mishum kvado to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. That's the point. They didn't want to say it's mutter because of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Huh? Which Reb Shimon ben Gamliel are you talking about? Hi, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Do you mean the famous Reb Shimon ben Gamliel back in Gittin? Is that what you're talking about in the Mishnah in Gittin of the guy who jumped off the roof? I mean, that's not, let me show you why that's not no get. What do you say over there? Habarish amar kitvu get lishti. A guy who seems to be in perfectly good health says to some Aiden, I want you to write a get for my wife and sign it. But he didn't say give her the get. He said write her the get. And he very conspicuously left out the closing words, which are always necessary for a shliach to be able to deliver a get. You have to say tenu, give her that get. And clearly in that case, ratzava sachekba, he's playing games with her. So what happened is he's going away on his trip to darkest Africa, along with Naftali and the whole crew. And I'm telling you, we got the lions walking through our little, the actual lion cub area. And she's scared to death. He ain't ever coming back. And she says, write me a get at least before you go. And he says, sure, honey, of course, I'll write you a get. So he says to her, okay, yep, here, look, I'm telling the Aiden, write a get for my wife. Sign that get. And then he leaves out the word tenu and flies off to the game park. He's playing games. And there was actually a maisa with a very healthy guy who said, kitfu get li ishti. Exactly this happened. But then he went up to the roof and fell off the roof. Oh, that's very, very suspicious. Fell off the roof, did he? Like all of these cases of the millionaires at the edge of their porch. Well, says Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, imi atzmo nafal, if he committed suicide, then it's a kosher get. But if he was pushed off by a sudden gust of wind, then it's not a kosher get. Now, what in the world does this maisa have to do with what Reb Shimon Gamliel said? Reb Shimon Gamliel first says he's playing games, and then he says, brings a case in which the get would be kosher. So we asked over there, what, does this make sense? If you're bringing an actual case to prove your point, you don't bring the opposite case, maaseli star. And we answer, well, obviously the Mishnah is missing a couple of words. Namely, and here's where the hocheach sofo tchilato becomes important. Im hocheach sofo tchilato. If it turns out that he committed suicide, it's clear that he was in a unstable mental state at the point in which he said, write that get, then his not saying tenu is not an indication that he's playing games, but it's just very possibly a result of an imbalance that he just was so distraught, he forgot to say tenu. And that is, imochiach sofot trilato. Then it's a get. That's where the Mishnah says, umasenami. We actually had a case like that where Shimon ben Gamliel himself said so. There was a guy who appeared to be completely healthy, and he says, kitvu get li ishti. And then he goes up to the roof and he falls off and he dies. Very suspicious. Says Rabbi Shimon, well, if this was a suicide, then the get is a kosher get. If we have indications that he actually was pushed off, okay, so then it's a series of unfortunate events. But anyway, it would not be a get in that case. So he's the one, Reb Shimon Gamliel, he's the one who introduced this concept of hochiach sofo al techilato. You know, so it's like all these American nuclear scientists that are all dropping dead suddenly all over the place or disappearing into nowhere. A series of unfortunate events. And therefore, basically, if we would have paskened that the fact that the guy ultimately says that he wants to do Avodah Zarah, according to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, we should say, Hochiach sofo tchilato. No, that has nothing to do with our case. Look, the whole point over there is that it's a series of unfortunate events. The guy first said, write a get to my wife. I mean, what's he saying? Write a get to my wife. So you're saying write a get to my wife is just to play games with her. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but that is certainly suspicious. And then at the end, when he commits suicide, then you say, okay, I throw faulty lato. Obviously. I mean, this guy was not getting along with his wife too well if he had to commit suicide. Okay. But that's not really what it means. But in any event, In this case, we have no indication at the time of Shechita of any suspicion, and therefore we don't have a series of unfortunate events. Why would I think that unfortunate, a single unfortunate event at the end, which is I intended to have a Zorah with the Zrika, that would have anything to do with what happened before? Any idiot knows the difference between a series and not a series, so forget about it. How could this have anything to do with that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel? So which Reb Shimon ben Gamliel did they meet? Bishul Kvodo de Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Elo Omar Ravina. Bishul Kvodo de Reb Shimon ben Gamliel of this case. We have a case like this. Somebody gives away everything that he owns to Job. Included in everything that he owns were these avadim. And Joe says, I don't want them. I don't want any avadim. I don't like having them around. What's the din? If Joe is a Kohen, Imoya Rabo Sheni Kohen, then these guys can eat truma, even though he's sitting there and saying, I don't want them. They're not mine. I refuse. They can continue to eat truma. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer. And here's the critical Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. He says, look, if the guy says, I don't want them, the moment that he says, I don't want them, then who gets these avadim when the giver dies? That belongs to his yorshim. So how would they be allowed to eat truma? Now, that on the surface makes no sense. The whole thing makes no sense. So we asked the obvious questions when we were being nogea, that's sogea, and we said over there on that brayta, and I don't understand. Tanakama says that he can eat truma, even though this guy is screaming, I don't want these avodim, get them out of my house. How is that going to, you can't force the guy to take up the avodim for a gift, can you? So, Lutanakama, would we say, Afilo Omedvitz Over, the guy is standing there screaming, he doesn't want them. How would he be Zochin then? So there, Rabba, or some say it was Rabbi Yochanan, explained that what the machlokas is over there between the Tanakama and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel is like this. If, as soon as this guy that wants to give him his property, hands him over the shtar, he looks at that shtar, and it's got a list of the property, and it says, these following avodim. As soon as he reads the shtar, he says, no way, Jose, get out of here, I'm not interested in any avodim. So then, of course, nobody's going to argue. You can't force him to accept a gift if he's indicating to you at the moment that you're trying to give him the gift that he doesn't want it. So, of course, the kulei alma lo plige, that he was not kona. Furthermore, in a case where he read through the contract and he does not in any way indicate he doesn't want it. And then a day later, he starts saying, what, these avodim, they're disgusting, get them out of my house, I don't want them. Obviously, it's too late now, buddy. Should have thought of that when he gave you the avodim, you know? So over there, of course, kulei alma lo plige, that it was kenkana. Of course, in that case, they could eat the truma. Nobody would argue about that. So what are they arguing on? They're arguing in a case where the person himself, Joe, didn't get the contract in his hand. In front of Joe, this guy, the old man who was dying and he was giving it over, he said to someone, take this contract and be zocha in it for Joe. So he doesn't say anything at the time. Vishatak. And then when they make the delivery of this guy's stuff after this guy dies, they bring in this stuff, and then he starts shouting, I don't want any of this. So the Tanakama holds, look, he was quiet at the beginning. He must have been Kena, and now he changed his mind. Why does he start shouting now only when they deliver it? Because he changed his mind when he sees it. Whereas Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, no. Now, in this case, there was no series of unfortunate events. There was just the fact that at the end, when they do make delivery, then he says, I don't want it. So in that case, it's no proof that he didn't say anything up front, because that was just because the guy was thinking, look, this guy's writing me this stuff. Who knows? He's going to end up getting better and he'll take it back. And I should start making a fuss. I'm not going to make a fuss. If they try to deliver this, then I'll make a fuss. That's the point. So as long as kilo asili yade, amay etzvach. So why should I make a fuss and it becomes a whole scandal and so on? Forget about it. We'll see what happens. Now, what lamaisa would be the halacha about the balim? Can the balim be mechashev? Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, no. The halacha is kribiosi, and it's only the shochet that can be mechashev. And the balim cannot be mechashev at all. And we had actual maisa like this because there were these Arabs who came to Tzikunia. So hani taye da'ase le Tzikunia. And they give over, they come to the Jewish sheikhet in town, and they give them over these rams to do shechita on, and they say to him, listen, we're very busy, we can't handle this right now, all we need really is the blood and the fats. Well, if you need blood and fats, the only thing you do with blood and fats is you put them on an Avodah Zarah Mizbeach, you know. So they want to do Zerikas Hadam, and they want to be Makriv the Emurim for Avodah Zarah. But you can keep the meat, and you can keep the skins. So Bashra Ubisra, you can keep them. So you just handle it for us, okay? So Shalachar Rav Tuvi Bar Rav Masa Lakami Rav Yosef. So Rav Tuvi Bar Masa sent a Shaila to ask Rav Yosef, what do I do? I mean, over here, Lamaisa, they own the part, and they're saying, as owners, that they're going to give it to Avodah Zarah. But the sheichet is a perfectly kosher sheichet. Do we have to worry about the machshava of the owners? Shalach lei, Rav Yosef sent him a tshuva. Hochi om Rav Yehuda omar Shmuel. Halacha k'Rabbi Yosi. We paskin like Rabbi Yosi in this Mishnah. Namely, ze mechashev, ze oved is nonsensical. We pay no attention to what the owner says, even if he owns some of it. Now, but what would be the din? According to Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer says that he actually, the owner, even if he just owns a tiny bit, I mean, he talked about the tarpasha, the kavda, you know, he owns like a little piece of the diaphragm, very minimal piece of the animal. According to Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah, we say that the bakshava of the owner actually can make it Isser Avodah Zarah. So what would be the case, according to Rebbe Eliezer, where a guy comes in and he gives a buck to a sheikhet? I remember in those days, people used to buy the meat in advance so that they would have a chelek in the animal, and they wanted to reserve their section. So this guy comes in, he gives him a buck, and he wants 1 buck's worth of cholent meat. So what would be the din if he's a goy? So Omar Leis, Rav Ashi says, well, it depends what kind of goy this is. E inish almahu de lo matzi matchile asur. According to Rabbi Eliezer, if this goy who gave him a buck is the kind of guy that you cannot say no to, and he's pretty violent. So, I mean, let's say this guy looks like Trump. You know, he comes in, he wants 1 buck's worth of meat. I mean, this guy's pretty violent. So you don't want to start up with him. And therefore, you cannot cancel the deal. So if you cannot cancel the deal, it's considered to be a real ownership. And therefore, according to Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that an owner can be Koveya with his machshava that something is for Avodah Zarah, then this would be a real problem. So, then it means that it's a real kinyan. But if not, he's just a regular guy, and he gave him a buck. So then the sheikhet can say to him, look here, sir, you see this? This is your head. See that? That is a mountain. Why don't you take your head and smash it into a mountain? See you later, alligator. So that's called Reshech Fahar. Your head and that mountain look like good friends. So that means you can always cancel the deal. It's a cute way of saying you can cancel the deal. Reshech Fahar. You should remember that when any of these, you know, telemarketers start up and you've got a good response. And there would be no chashash of an actual kinyan. Okay, another day of marvelous fun. And as we get deeper into this Masechet, the fun just grows.